This is Victory House.
Thank you. We give all glory to God. And I'm sure many of us are not privileged to have their moms here with them. I'm privileged to have my mom here with me. So I just want to say thank you so much, Mommy. She's such a woman of God, and she raised all of us to love the Lord. And she has such a kind heart. And I just want to celebrate you, Ma. God bless you, Ma. I love you. So today we'll be sharing from the Word of God. Many of you know that I have three children. I don't have any one of them that's four. None of them are very old, so I'm a learning mom. I'm still learning from the Lord. But I trust that as I read from the Word of God and I share some of my experiences with you, that you will be blessed. Let's just have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for every one of us here. Thank you because in one way or capacity, we can influence children everywhere we are. And Lord, we ask that as we read from this word, that your people will be blessed. I will be blessed, and the people hearing me will be blessed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we'll not just only be hearers of your words, but we'll be doers of them also in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. My short exhortation this morning is titled, Teach Them How to Live. Teach them how to live. You know, mothers, they are known to be kind, they're known to be sweet, but one of the things that is so fascinating about them is that they are nurturers, they nurture seeds. If a woman gets pregnant, she nurtures that seed, and she gives birth to that seed. And you can see from the video, when that child is born, she takes care of the child from beginning. And even when the child is walking down, no longer a child anymore, walking down the aisle, she's always there looking out. And I wonder why, even though that nature is natural to women, I wonder why God still instructs us to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. That goes to show that some of these skills in raising, in training children up, it's not going to be left to automatic. God expects us to be intentional about raising children. And some of us may say, oh, well, I'm not a mom yet. You'll be a mom, amen? Some of us to say, oh, I'm a guy, I'm a father, or I'm a father-to-be, I'll leave it to them. No, don't do that. This is still the word of God. We are expected to influence those around us, especially children. And Pastor mentioned something this morning when he was talking about our children in Victory House. Have you ever wondered that the children around you could be the president? Yes. Have you ever imagined that there'll be senators, there'll be people of great influence? So if you know that there could be such people, how would you treat them now? What would be your outlook toward raising them in the fear of the Lord? I don't know. I'm not speaking against any president, but I just imagine if someone had been very intentional about raising certain presidents or raising certain people of authority, there are some things we will not even deal with because someone took time to train their children. And so I'm going to encourage us this morning. I'm sure women, we have done an awesome job taking care of children, giving them food to eat, putting clothes over their back. But I want us to be more intentional about their character, who they are. And that's why I titled this message, Teach Them How to Live. Many of people who know me, they know that I like to, many times I've come here to preach, I like to have acronyms or something that can help us remember so that when we leave here, we can put them into practice. So I wrote here that we should teach our children not only for where they are today, but for where they are going. When they get to that place of destiny, it will be too late. I mean, when they get to the top, they will get to the top. But when they are there, I mean, there's only so much you can do. So we need to start early. Amen? So what are we to teach them? L, so I'm going to be spelling out the acronym LIVE, L-I-V-E. And what does L stand for? Can someone guess, I'm sure? Love, hallelujah. Should I give you the mic? Maybe. Can tell me everything. I'm sure we know these things, but I think the Holy Spirit just reminded me that if we do half of what we know, I'm sure we'll be much better. So let's just make a resolve to do some of the things we know. Love. Love God, love themselves, love people. The Bible says in Matthew 22 from verse 37 to 40, someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And his reply was, love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. It says it's the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. It says the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Teach them to love. Teach them to love God. Teach them to love themselves. Teach them to love their neighbors. And it's just in the little details, in loving people. First of all, teach them to love God by praying with them, by reading the word of God to them, by bringing them to church. You know, that's as many opportunities that you have to get the word of God on the inside of them. Don't overlook it. Teach them that God is the creator of all things. God created them. And God cannot create rubbish. So God created a wonderful thing. And they should love themselves. So teach them to love God. Teach them to love themselves. Teach them to care about other people. For example, recently, my son had a birthday and he got too many gifts. I told them, don't open all of them. You can't consume all. I don't think it's a righteous thing to do for you to consume all these gifts. We're going to give some out to people. Some people don't have toys. Or it's just building the habit of just not only thinking of yourself. Oh, this is my toy. This is what this person gave to me. But giving out some of them. Those are the little ways that you can teach people, not to teach your children, not to be so self-centered, but to think about other people. Amen? Amen. The second letter is I. Teach them independence. It's okay to be different. It's okay. You are okay the way God made you. He made you, you are fearfully, and you're wonderfully made. And I think this is very, very important in this world that we live in. In this world where people fall for anything and everything, teach them that if they don't stand for something, they will fall for anything. Teach them that there's a standard of the word of God. Teach them. If they are the only ones that are standing, that's okay. The example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible, a lot of us are familiar with it. The king made an idol, and he said that the blast of the trumpet and the instruments, people should bow down to that image. But that was against what God gave them. That was different from the commandment he gave them. He said they should not bow to any other god. But these three Hebrew boys chose to stand. They didn't bow when everyone was bowing down. And the only thing was that it was not just a command that the king gave them. He said if they did not bow, he would throw them into the fire. But these boys were not even concerned about the consequences of not bowing down to the king. They said we're not even careful to talk about this thing. Whether God saves us or he does not save us, we will go into the fire. They were willing to stand when everyone is falling. In this society where people don't think about being a virgin before you get married. That is like they think it's old school. Teach them that's what the word of God says. Where some people feel like, we can tell white lies or purple lies or off-white, maybe not exactly white, but off-white or something. Tell them that they can still tell the truth. Because nobody may know that they told a lie, but God knows. And that filters back to the first point I said. Teach them to love God, to honor God, to fear him. When people don't know about it, God sees. And if they fear God, then they will treat every situation as though God was standing beside them. So it's okay. Tell them it's okay to stand, to be different in your class. My son, most of his classmates are white people or Hispanic, and sometimes when he cuts his hair, they laugh at him. And I encourage him. I feel at some point I felt that he was being bullied or being victimized about it, because they would just say, you cut your hair, and they would all laugh, because they don't, you know that they don't cut their hair that low. And I just encouraged him. I said, look at your dad. When he cuts his hair, how is it like? And I told him of the many uncles that are around him. I said, they are different. That's why their hair is not like that. But I think it was it's a good training ground for him, because it's okay to be different. As far as you are being different the way God wants you to be different, that everyone says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. You don't go with the flow. You go with what the Word of God says. So teach them independence. And that's even, everybody's having a birthday party. You don't have to have a birthday party. We'll have a nice time praising God and having fun. You don't have to be like your neighbor on the left or be like the neighbor on your right. You're okay the way God created you. And your parents know what is best for you. They love you. And you don't have to try to be like your friend. Okay, so that's something we can teach them. We can teach them independence. And sometimes it can be hard, but I just want to encourage us that this independence will benefit them and it will benefit you. I have a 4-month-old baby and I'm already teaching her some form of independence. I want her to sleep on her own for selfish reasons because I want to sleep, I want to wake up, I go to work without, yawning at my desk and everything. But it will benefit her. I've been reading about it. But I hear it will benefit her as well. She will be smarter. She will feel, But they tell me that children, 4 months old, they have the capacity. Some of them may need a little bit more time, but they have the capacity to sleep through the night, at least 8 hours. And I was like, wow, that is new to me. So sometimes it's painful. Sometimes I dropped. I remember the first time I started letting her. Because you know how she came now. She had 2 older brothers, and she came up like 5 years after, and everyone was carrying her. Everyone was doing around her, carrying her all the time. I tried to put her down. She started screaming. I'm like, this one has to stop. Nobody can do this forever. So we started putting her in her chair, and she would scream. She would cry. And then I started the night ones. I'll put her, after she's eating and she's fine, we feel like she's okay, we'll put her in her crib. And daddy was like, this training is too early. I'm like, hey, it's not like, I know you love her. I love her too. It's pricking me the way, I feel like the way it's pricking you. But eventually, I think now she's not yet there. But at this point, she knows that when you put her in her crib, she will start, And then Pastor Two was like, this thing is working though. It's like she's getting a little bit of, she's feeling okay with herself. And it benefits them, it benefits us. So we should not shield them and make them feel, that they can't handle difficulties or they can't handle some challenges. God already gave them the skills to be independent. If not, they would have been in your womb forever, right? But they were birthed. You have to guide them. And it's okay to be independent. It's okay to be different from everyone else, even though they are the only ones standing. Daniel also had a story. I don't know how many of us are familiar with that story. But they said they made a decree that no one should pray. But that was against his own relationship with God. And he still chose to pray. He went into the lion's den and God delivered him. What about if God did not deliver him? He did not care. He wanted to stand. And that's the kind of breed I want us to train our children to be independent, to stand for God, even when everybody else is falling. And I know that in the name of Jesus, they will stand in Jesus' name. So we talked about L. Can someone remember what L is? And I? The next one, V, and you teach them values. This is very broad, but teach them values. What are the values and things that you want them to have when they are older? Teach them integrity. Teach them honor and respect. Greet people. Don't talk anyhow. Respect your friends. When your friends tell you, no, I don't like that, don't keep playing and making fun. No, they've already expressed that they don't like the way you spin them around. They don't like the way you handle them. Tell them that they should respect their friends. Those are values you can teach your children. Teach them what it's like to be in a family. Husbands can model love to their wives. Wives can model respect to their husbands. That is how you teach them values. Teach them to respect their friends. Teach them. And the good thing about teaching them is that when you teach them, even you as an adult, when you forget, they remind you. Just yesterday, my son was playing with the iPad and he was doing something. I wasn't doing it right. And I was trying to correct him and he was kicking my or snapping my hand away. And I was like, that's very rude. I'm trying to help you. Or even if I was trying to play with you, why would you just hit my hand away? And he was like, okay, mommy. And then we went. Just about 3 minutes later, I was with baby and I was just playing with her. And then he was trying to do something to her and I knocked his hand knocked his hand away. It's like, mommy, we already talked about that. I'm sure you people can guess who that person is. My older son may not even say anything, but the second one, he said, mommy, but we didn't even talk about it. I just mentioned, I just said, mommy, we already talked about it. I was like, okay, I was just trying to protect her, but okay, yes, I've heard. So that's the good thing. When we train them and teach them values, they listen and they remind you, mommy, I thought you said we should be patient. Mommy, I thought you said we should not lie. Mommy, I thought you said we should not be afraid. They end up being the person encouraging you to walk in the way of the Lord. Amen. I just leave a scripture for us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. It says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. So those are values. There are tons of values you can teach your children. You want them to be philanthropists, people who are not selfish. Teach them giving. Teach them love. Teach them as many of those values as you can. The Lord God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And then the last one that we can teach them is excellence. Amen? Amen. Never settle for less. Can we remember the time we had NICOS conference when Reverend George came and told us, he said, why settle for less when you can have more? Teach your children to strive for the best. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. Not with some, with all of your might. And it starts from homework. It starts from schoolwork. I remember just recently, my son came back. He's very, very smart. And with the with his spelling test, he got everything, but he failed everything. I won't say he got everything. He failed everything. But the reason why he failed them was because he switched two numbers and they were doing the I-O-N words. So words like action, he would spell as A-C-T-O-I-N instead of I-O-N. So he got everything, but that he switched those two. I think he got just one of them. And his teacher gave him a pass and because she knew that it was just the he just was an oversight. And I told him, I said, why did you do this? That I always tell you when you do your homework or any work, go through your work and make sure it's fine. I'm sure if you did, maybe you would have noticed it. So I asked him, did you go over? He said, no. He said, but I tried my best. I said, you did not try your best. He said, but I tried my best. Nigerian parents. I said, you did not, your best was not good enough. And then he felt sad, but I said, well, why I'm telling you this is because I know you have the potential to get all of it. And I always tell you, go through your work. Even God went through his work. When he was creating, he looked and said, this was good, that was good. And at the end of the 6-day operation, he said it was very good. So even though he created on the first day and said it was good, on the second day he said it was good, he didn't stop there. He kept on going and reviewing whatever he was doing. And at the end of the 6th day, he said this was very good. That's an example. You go over and beyond. And that's how they will stand before kings and princes and not mere men. When you teach them to stretch beyond, to give much more than is being demanded of them. My son will tell me, oh, I don't have any homework. I said, but you have homework, the one that I give you to do. Your teacher tells you can read one book. Yes, you read 2 or 3. My husband, I know that sometimes they get their way because I'm maybe soft-spoken or whatever, but sometimes I stand my ground and tell them, you have to do this. And my husband sometimes will say, give them a pass. Sometimes they like hanging out with him more than me. But I think that balance is good, to be able to, stand your ground and say, do this. Because I know they can. They can. And they should not settle for less when they can soar high. An example is in Genesis 39 or 41, the story of Joseph. Joseph was an excellent person. he saw it in different places he was, from the pit to the palace to the prison. And when he got before Pharaoh and to interpret the dream, no one could interpret the dream, right? So he had the skill to interpret the dream. He interpreted the dream, but you know what he did? He also gave them a recommendation on what to do, right? So the king had a mysterious dream, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know, he couldn't even explain the dream. And Joseph came and explained the dream to him. Wouldn't you think that that was enough? But he went an extra mile. The Bible says in Genesis 41, 33 to 37, he says, "And now look, Pharaoh, look for a discerning and wise man," which was ended up being him at the end of the day, "and say, and put him in charge of the land of Egypt, and let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming up and store them," and blah, blah, blah. He gave them a plan, and he ended up being that person appointed to be ruler. So let's challenge them. They can do more. They can excel. If you want to look at the stories of people who are successful, you would see that they were kind of hard on themselves. Not in a hard way to maybe punish them or make them put too much on them that they can't deliver, but always teach them to stretch beyond where they are. So they have homework, you can give them extra. So my son likes reading, but most times he likes reading only fiction, Superman. I tell him, okay, what about reading about the weather? Sometimes I can be too serious. Read about the weather or read about something else. Because you want to expand their minds. You want them to, you don't want to ever make them think that this is all I can be within a circle. You want to give them a whole world to explore. Teach them that nothing is impossible. Of course, with God on their side. And if God gives them a dream, an idea, it doesn't matter if they have limits, they can reach for it. And these are little skills that translate to other aspects of their lives when they are older, when they're in high places. Amen? So we've talked about four things we can teach them. The first one is L. The second one is I. The third one is V. The fourth one is E. Okay, we've taught them what, we've said what to teach them. Now let's go to the second part, which is how do you teach them? How do you teach them? You teach by leading by example. So all those values, and I'm sure there are a whole lot more. I'm sure there's we can't cover all of them within the 25 or 30 minutes sermon. But whatever the values are, whatever the things that the Lord has laid upon your heart to teach your children, you have to teach them by leading, by leading, by leading. So when you say we want to teach them, love the Lord, love your neighbors, love yourself, are you loving God? Are you loving yourself? Are you loving your neighbor? Be that example. Much more than what you tell them, they are seeing your own life and they are learning. Have you noticed that children, no matter how tall or how shallow your shoe is, they always try to walk in your shoes? Have anybody experienced that? You've seen children. It's a simple example, but it's an experience or it's a symbol of what they always want to do. They want to be like you. They walk in your shoes, no matter how tall the shoes are. Even my sons have tried it because they've seen me do it. So if they see you succeed, they know they can succeed. If they see you being truthful, they see you exhibiting great characters, then that's what they would do. So that is how you teach them, by leading. I'll read us, leave us a scripture in Genesis 18, 19. This was talking about Abraham. And it says, "For I have chosen him that he would direct his children and his household after him." Notice that he says after him, not after God. The scripture didn't say he would direct his children after God. It says he would direct his children after him to keep the way of the Lord. So as he follows God, they will follow him. And someone will ask, "Oh, how many children should I have?" You know, I think it's dependent on how many you can lead. How many you can, you know, help to model the character of Christ in. So, Bible says that God was confident that Abraham was going to command his children to follow him. And that was because Abraham was honoring God. Amen? So when you ask, you don't ask them, do you want to go to church? No. As they are going, they are following you. You don't ask them about, you know, you don't tell them, oh, do you want to eat healthy? You eat healthy, they will follow you. Those things are not negotiable. Those are the things you, once you work on yourself to build those characters, your children will follow you. I can't remember any time in my life growing up where I would just say, I'm sleeping at home today. I don't, mommy, my mom is here. I mean, it wasn't even an option. And my parents were not pastors, but they were just very, you know, dedicated. So I can't remember. Maybe they were, but I just can't remember. So that's one way. Different other ways. One of the things that inspires me, even with my career, is I want my children to see where I have attained or where I attained. I want them to see the difference that I'm making with my business, with ministry, whatever it is. I want to leave them an example. And I think that should be everybody's, you know, desire. That whatever steps you're taking, when you look back down the line, they'll be able to say, oh, I learned that from my mom. Despite the challenges, whatever she faced through, or, you know, she pushed for it and she got it. Amen? So you teach by leading. You also teach by instructing. You can set out time to instruct. Recently at home, we started reading just maybe 2-3 minutes. We'll read. I found it online. I mean, and that's one thing we need to do. Look for ways. There are many ways these days to impact our children and impute the word of God in them. I was just looking on Instagram and I saw a friend. She was showing us a daily devotional. But she homeschools her children. And she was showing us that she has math, English, and all, but she also includes religious studies. And she showed us this devotional that she would, you know, and talks about superhero. And I felt that was really great for boys, my boys. And we said, let's buy the book. Well, I bought the book, and then we do it at home in the morning before we go to school. And they have different lessons. Remember, a superhero trusts God. Remember, a superhero, you know, cares for his friends. Remember, a superhero shares. Those are little ways you can deposit the word of God into the life of. That's by instructing. Another way that I know how to instruct is also by finding teachable moments. So, for example, we're all watching a movie or we see someone do something. I will ask a question: is that good or is that bad? I'll see him, maybe there was one time we were watching a Nigerian movie, and Nigerian movies can be very funny. We saw this man, he entered to the kitchen, and he picked a piece of meat from the pot. And then I said, is that good? I said, what is he doing? He's stealing. That is a teachable moment. No matter what you are watching, you see someone do, maybe he hit someone, you can say, is that good? You know, look for ways. You don't have to, I mean, it's great to have a specific time where you can say, oh, A, B, C, don't do this. But you can look out for opportunities where you see, even if on the movie or someone walking on the street, you can say, is that right what he did? It's not good. No, we should care for our friends. Those are just a simple sentence or two can impact their lives. So you instruct them. Don't leave it to children's church to instruct them. Don't leave it to media to instruct them. Trust me, in fact, some of the things you hear right now on social media and, you know, the access our children have to the internet, it's terrible. So you don't want to leave it to your school or to the teachers or to an uncle to do it. You take time to do it. Don't leave any stone unturned. Sometimes we do, we pick this habit at home too. We say, how was your day? Sometimes they use it not to go to bed because we put them to bed early. And sometimes I just picked up the habit, you know, let's just talk about our day. Because I feel like that's an opportunity for you to know what's happening, how their friends are doing, who are their friends and their teachers and everything. And many things have come through. They'll tell me their friend is sick. Then we pray. They'll tell me their teacher is sick. Then we pray. The other day, my son came to tell me, say, oh, let's pray for Hawaii. I did not tell him that. And I'm so proud of what God is doing in his life that he was able to say, let's pray for Hawaii. Because I did not, I mean, I saw it on TV. We can pray for it. But for him to say that is because in our communication with him, we have seen areas where we identify there's a problem. And we say, can we tell God about it? And we pray. And God does things. So that's what we do. We look for opportunities to teach them. We don't take for granted the time that we have with them. Amen? I feel like I'm not mentioning too many Bible scriptures, but I mean, I can share my notes with you. I have them. I have Deuteronomy 6:6-7. I just feel like this is a sharing moment. I'm sharing what I'm doing, and I just want to encourage us. I'm sure we're already doing these things, or even if we're not doing them, let's just be reminded to do it. And I know that his spirit is here to help us in Jesus' name. So the next letter is V, validate them, encourage them. I'm a huge supporter of encouraging my children. I affirm them. I tell them, you are smart, you are favored, you are handsome. Because you don't really know what they get out there when they're in their school. Their teacher, pastor shares his story about how his teacher did something to him that, you know, impacted him for a long time. You don't know what they are facing, but at least when they are with you, let them know that they are valued. I like this story. I know a lot of people reference Proverbs 31 and talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. But earlier in that scripture, you can see that King Lemuel, his mom told him something. I just read that scripture for us. This is just an example of how we can address our children. In Proverbs 31, verse 4, he says, it's not for kings, Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers to crave beer. Teach them that they are royal priesthood. They are a holy nation. It's not for you to go sleeping around. It's not for you to go drinking. It's not for you to go clubbing. It's not for you. Because you are special. Everybody's doing it, yeah, but you are different. So teach them who they are in Christ. Teach them the treasure that they are. He says, let beer be for those who are perishing. That's from verse 6. Wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty. But you are a king. But you are a chosen one. You are beautiful. You are treasured. That's how we speak to our children. We speak by validating them. God made them fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't crush their spirits. They may be doing some things that maybe you don't like, and you don't say you are always doing this. You are always failing. No, that's not your confession. Your confession should be that of the word of God. Encourage them in the Lord. Amen. And the last one is E, encouraging. It's almost the same as validating. When they do the things that are right, we praise them. We encourage them. So I know some of us, a lot of us are from African background, Nigerians. When they do good things, you say, before on call, or you say, what are you supposed to do anyway? You know, you just say, that's what you're supposed to do. I shouldn't be clapping for you. You did it. That's fine. But when they do something that's wrong, then you raise up your voice and say, hey, come here. You know, you want to whoop them. No. Let's encourage them. When they do things that are right, give them thumbs up. Cheer them up. Let you be their greatest cheerleader ever. Amen. You saw that woman in the video. I was like, she didn't even care whether anybody else was. It doesn't even matter. Even the boy felt embarrassed the way the mom was cheering up for him. That's how we should be. Encourage our children. Validate them. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that they have someone who is their cheerleader back at home. And even when they are experiencing challenges, they will come to you and tell you, hey, this is what's going on. I'm having a challenge with this. So let's encourage each other. Let's encourage our children. And let's not only be the first to beat them up. And let's look for opportunities for improving them. Let's not be the ones. The Bible says, I know he was talking to fathers then. He said, do not push them to wrath. Do not, you know, crush their spirits. Maybe we're busy. One of the days I was disciplining my son or talking to him. I can't remember what exactly. I think I probably was spanking him. And my husband was like, would you do that to me if I did this? I mean, I could have done it, right? So if I was the one who did it, would you treat me that way? And that has been resounding in my, the way I treat my children. That's a future president, right? That's a future father. Future, you don't talk to them anyhow. You don't just hit them. You don't just, even when you correct them, there's a scripture that says, foolishness abounds in a child, but the rod of correction, you know, sweeps it away. What you tell them, I say, because you are not a foolish child, I must drive that foolishness from you. I don't call them foolish. I won't say you are foolish. I won't say you are so but I say, because I love you, because I don't want you to do it again, I'm going to spark that foolishness out of yourself. You know, so it also depends on how we communicate it to our children, how we tell them when we're even correcting them. We don't call them the situation, we call them what God has called them. And I'm sure the Lord God will help us. I know our mothers are doing an awesome job. Yes. But I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep praying for them. Keep declaring over them. And I know that your labor over them will not be in vain in Jesus' name. Sorry, Nathan. Sorry, Benjamin. I used your stories. Sorry, Fifumi. Without your permission, I used your stories. But that's all I have. That's what I'm sharing. And I'm sure that you have been blessed. So can we just go over the things that we learned this morning? What do we teach them, L? What do we teach them? What do we teach them? What do we teach them? How do we teach them? By leading by example. How again do we teach them? How do we teach them again? How do we teach them again? We are encouraging them. Lord God will help us. Can we just bow our heads this afternoon and thank the Lord for his word?